For our scripture reading today, I'm going to be reading out of the NIV, Genesis 1, 26 through 31, 1 Corinthians 15, 22 and 23, Ephesians 4, 20 through 24. And I'd like to point out something here on Genesis. When I first started reading the Bible, I started at Genesis, and that was one of the most fabulous books to me. That is one of the most fabulous books I've ever read. That's the beginning of the earth. So here goes. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on ground." Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with a seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth, and all the birds in the sky, and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has a breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. We move over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 22-23. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ will be made alive. But each in turn, Christ the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. Now from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 20-24. "That, however, is not the way of life you learned. When you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." The word of God to the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Tim.
Thank you.
I was thinking this week in this series of who am I and what is it that God wants to do in my life to make me more like him? What are the things that come up? What are the issues in life? And a couple thoughts come to mind, and one of them was, is my true identity in Christ, or is my true identity in something else? And that something else I labeled idolatry. So the question becomes, who are we? Who are we? Who am I? What is our real purpose? Where'd I come from? Where'd other people come from? And so we want to find out everything about ourselves that we can. Cindy just sent off for this DNA thing to tell you what your background was. We have a friend. He sent his off and found out, I think he was 8% Neanderthal. Is that what it was? Cindy's wasn't that, but Kim found out he was 8% Neanderthal. He said, "I'm not sure I wanted to find that out." But then I thought, when Brenda was talking about trying to find her birth mother, you want to find out everything that you can. When Wanda talked about Tom's brother, how important is that, that we find out and that we get to know really who we are? And so the writer of Genesis, who's been attributed to be Moses, talked a lot about what went on, and with what Tim just read, one of the interesting things is that nowhere in the Bible does it talk about who wrote Genesis. But if you want a good trivia question, the answer is Moses, because the Bible said that he gave Moses the words. Tim read, he said, let us make man in our own image. Who's the us? Because it goes on to say God created us as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It was the Trinity that he was talking about when he said, let us make man in our own image. And it wasn't in the physical likeness of God that he created man, or that he created mankind, because if we read a little later, we'll see that he breathed life into man, and that's what gave him physical life. But he said he gave us that spiritual creation is what he did. And the next verse goes on to explain, as Tim read, about God creating, and the Bible says that he has given us a physical likeness of man, but a personality and a moral likeness of God the Father and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. So back in the Garden of Eden, back in the day of Adam, when Adam was created, he was created perfect, created without sin. God made nothing else in his creation like man. Nothing else. Everything else that he created was created without a soul. And so when we stop and think about that, we think about the uniqueness of that. And we are reminded by the world that we need to look into a mirror. And I looked into a mirror this morning and shaved. I looked into a mirror this morning and combed my short hair. Notice, haircut. You know, I think they charged me extra because it went long. But we see that mirror, and we look in the mirror and we think, you know, he looks pretty good, or she looks pretty good, or I look pretty good. And we're reminded, or we should be reminded when we look in that mirror, that we are to not mirror ourselves, but we're to mirror Jesus. And we can only mirror Jesus when we know who I am. And so in 1 Corinthians, as Tim just read, he said, in Adam we all die. It means we're all going to die a physical death. We have no choice when. We have no choice how. Other than I saw something this week that said, it talked about, I guess there's a law in California now that you can assist with suicide. I didn't realize that until I saw it, until I read it. But I think it was 52 assisted suicide deaths in California. And so I guess in some people have a choice. When they're going to die, we have no choice how we're going to die. And I was talking to Wayne, talking about losing his brother, and he'd seen so many of his family members suffer. And yet we suffer, but we don't know when that moment is. And so we're reminded of that we all die. But there's another verse that says, in Christ, we will all be made alive. That becomes our hope. And that's who I am. And I thought when we were singing the song, Who Am I? That God should look down on me. And he looks down on everyone. Paul told us, he said, if we truly heard from Jesus and have been taught by him, we will put off the old self, completely discard the former nature, which is being corrupted through deceitful desires, and be continually renewed in the spirit of our mind, having a fresh, untarnished mental and spiritual attitude, and put on the new self, the generated and renewed nature created in God's image. says something there, and I don't think oftentimes we think about it, but he said, we will put off the old nature. In other words, there are things that we have to make a decision to stop doing. If we're going to be in Christ, and if we're going to be one of, you know, when we talk about that and we say, I am in you and I am in Jesus, there are some things that he expects us to stop. Now, I can't tell you what they are for you, nor would I even attempt to, because that's, the scripture says that we need to work out our own salvation. He needs to let each one of us know what it is. But the question becomes, how do we do that? What do we go about doing that if I'm going to be in Christ? Paul tells us, he says, therefore rejecting all falsehood, this is from the Amplified, so in parenthesis it says, whether lying, defrauding, telling half-truths, spreading rumors, and such as these, speak truth, each one with his neighbor, for we are all parts of one another. And then he goes on to say, and we are all parts of the body of Christ. And we're talking about that this morning in the adult Sunday school class, about if one part doesn't want to be a part of the body. I'm going to refer back to California. You probably saw where they put on a ballot in November to have four different sectors or, you know, divisions within the state of California. And so somebody may not want to be a part of Sacramento or may, you know, live in San Diego. So I guess you're going to be able to do that if they pass it. And it wouldn't surprise me that they pass it when you stop and think about that. So we're going to be taking a look at Ephesians over this next series of messages. But in chapter 5 of Ephesians, Paul says, therefore become imitators of God. Copy him by his example as well-beloved children. Imitate their father. We all imitate our fathers, whether we really want to admit it or not. We all have habits and we all do things that our fathers did. Some of them I could share with you, some of them I couldn't. My dad was a smoker. I never remember him not opening a package of cigarettes and throwing the paper out the window. It was a cellophane, you know, around. I it's all he ever did. He didn't need a litter box. The world was his litter box. And, I remember my mother, my mother and dad were both heavy smokers, and I remember my mother saying, I better never catch you with one of these in your mouth. Hey, you know, the way it looks on you, I didn't say that, but not a problem. You know, there were just some things that you just choose not to do. We're talking to somebody yesterday about, you know, switches, and I wore enough of those. I didn't need one that I probably deserve. But that, in reading that from Ephesians to go on, it says, imitate their father and walk confidently and continually in love. That is value. One another, practice empathy and compassion, unselfishly seeking the best for others. Anybody come to mind that you do not necessarily unselfishly seek the best for? But he's telling us that's what love is. That's who I am in Christ. Just as Christ also loved and loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering, a sacrifice to God, slain for you, so that it became a sweet fragrance. What he's saying is to put off all that stuff that's not important. And Wednesday or Thursday evening we were talking, and I said, I'm just trying to figure out what it is that makes it so difficult to the world to say yes to Jesus. Is it the fact that he's not offered? Is it the fact that I think I have to give up A, B, C, and D? And all the way down to E, or, you know, and maybe Z in some cases. I have to give up all those things. He never said that. What he said was, confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. And that scripture is also, it was referred to this morning in Acts, in the scripture lesson in the class. He didn't say this, 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 and this. He said, believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. The rest of that stuff will take care of itself. But that's who we become in Christ, and we find out that that relationship can become far-reaching. It can be beyond any belief that we ever have. It can form a new identity in us. And so as I was thinking about this, I read this quote this week from a guy by the name of Harold Best, and he said in his book, Unceasing Worship, he describes some of what a person's identity is when he says, worship is the continuing outpouring of all that I am, all that I do, and all that I can ever become in the light of a chosen and choosing God. Worship is something that we do, and it helps us to remember who we are in Him. So when we talk about this, the idea of who I am in Christ and the idea of the idolatry thing, there were five things that come to my mind this week, and the first one was items. How we can get so wrapped up in consumerism and how we can get so wrapped up in stuff that we let it become our God. And I heard this morning, and they were driving in on the radio, that they were talking to a billionaire's wife. And they asked her, said, what is it that makes your husband do what he does and give him the drive that he has? And she said, it's to have one more thing. Not that there's anything wrong with things, but to have one more thing. There was a movie in 1999 called The Fight Club, and there's a quote in there. It says, the things you own end up owning you. And sometimes that can happen if we get too involved with that. Duties. We all like to excel. We all like to be successful in what we do. But sometimes in order to do that, we can become overcommitted. And to where we do everything okay, but we do something and some things not very well. We should use our talents, but they should never consume us. Others. Items, consumerism, duties, others. Sometimes we let others become our source of identity. Who can I associate with? Who can I hang around with? Who's the most influential person at work? Who's the most influential person of all places at church? You know, I'm going to walk alongside them. I'm going to sit next to them. Longings. We can't let ourselves be driven by things that we want to do without allowing Christ to lead us in the things that He wants us to do and that He needs for us to do. And then the other thing that come to mind was suffering. We all face adversity. Christians face adversity every day. We face it at work. We face it driving down the road. We face it when somebody pulls out in front of you. Somebody passes on the yellow line. And you just want to run them down. Don't deny it. I mean, I'll be the first one to raise my hand. Just want to get even, and that's not who I am in Christ. Paul, when he was talking to the Corinthians, and I mentioned earlier, he said, in Christ we're all made alive. And I was thinking this week, and I read an article, and I thought it was kind of interesting. It talked about we can read people's autobiographies or the biographies that is written about them, and people say some really great things about them. But they don't, you know, sometimes when it gets down to what the real dirt is, we don't want to talk about that. Abraham, as an example, tried to give away his wife two different times, passing her off as someone else. Noah passed out drunk in a tent. David suggested there was political assassination while on his deathbed. And I read about some religious people, A.W. Tozer, great theologian, great writer, David Livingston. Others that neglected their families. Gandhi, things I read about him are not fit to repeat. And it's like, whoa, wait a minute. You know, we never hear about some of these things. And so anyway, there's far more there. So when we look at Jesus, who are we in Christ? Paul said, for just as in Adam all die, so also in Christ we all are made alive. The first Adam in the garden turned from the Father. the last Adam turned to the Father in a garden. The first Adam was naked and ashamed. The last Adam was naked and bore our sins. The first Adam's sin brought us thorns. The last Adam wore a crown of thorns. The first Adam substituted himself for God. The last Adam, God, substituting himself for us, sinners. The first Adam sinned at a tree. The last Adam died on a tree for our sin. The first Adam died as a sinner. The last Adam died for our sins. So we're going to be looking over the next several weeks of who am I? Where do I fit in the picture that God has for me? What is that plan? And so as I said, we're going to be taking a look at the book of Ephesians. Ephesians was written to Christians. And it was written for the purpose of teaching them how to avoid their former life or their life outside of Christ. Because as we become in Christ, who am I? I am in Him. I am Him. Because I have confessed with my mouth and believed in my heart that Jesus has forgiven me. That's the only thing that He's ever said. So we find in Ephesians, looking at the book of Ephesians, it teaches us how to live in spite of their former life, how to live and avoid it. What is our identity in Christ? Who am I? What is my expectation? What is His expectation of me? Talks about unifying the church. Was it the fifth chapter of Acts this morning? Is that what it was? I'd encourage you to read the fifth chapter of Acts this week and talk about how some people, and they were 15, how the Pharisees, who were believers, tried to keep Gentiles or non-believers at the time out of the church. And when a Gentile was converted, they were putting these restrictions, the Jews were putting these restrictions on the people. And the whole idea was they were concerned, they were jealous, that there was going to be more of them in there. So read that. And then also, let me encourage you to read 1 Corinthians this week, the chapter that Tim read from earlier. There are two words that we'll find them 10 different times in 1 Corinthians, the book there, and it's those two words called in Christ. How important that is for us to stop and think about that, because idolatry can be anything that takes us away from my relationship with Jesus, from who am I. And so as I was preparing this week, there was this thought that passed through my mind, and that was that one I said earlier, is why is it so difficult? And I'd like for you to think about that. For a non-believer to say yes to Jesus, what is so difficult about that? Paul's concept of being in Christ is the reason many people struggle. And many people just can't seem to get beyond it. And part of it is we have to take responsibility as ministers. We haven't talked much about it. We talk about all the good things that, God does for us and all the good things that He can do for us. But we never talk about how do I get there to receive those things. And so that's what we're going to try to do as we take a look at that. So read 1 Corinthians over and over if you get a chance. It's not a long book. It's very easy to read. If you need a New Living Translation or something easy to read, let me know. But take an opportunity to read that. There's next slide up there I'd like to take a look at. And it's a picture of a pretty well-used Bible. It's been highlighted. It's been written in. It's been used. Spurgeon said, The Bible that is falling apart usually belongs to someone whose life is not. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful that we can be who you want us to be in you. Who am I? I am a child of God because I have chosen to follow you. I have chosen to be led by you. I've chosen to be guided by you. So, Father, this week as we meditate on these words, let us grasp, who am I that you would look down and pick me to be your child? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.